Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17 says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." I'm one of those that reads through Proverbs every month. And so, as I go through, you know, on whatever day of the month it is, I read that proverb. Well, on the 23rd day of each month, I'm reading this proverb. I've read through it, I can't even tell you how many times. And every time I read it, I think about it. So today, even though it is not the 23rd, it is a text that comes to mind. Let not thine heart envy sinners. I just can't get that verse out of my mind because you know what I notice? Christians often tend to envy sinners. They see what sinners have, they see what sinners are doing, and they're like, "Boy, whew, I wish I could do that. I wish I had that." Well, let me tell you, follow what Solomon said. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Now notice in this text, the problem starts down in your heart. Let not thine heart envy sinners. And that's where the problem starts. What happens is you see sinners enjoying something that you want to do, but you can't do because you're a Christian, and that gets down in your heart. You're like, "Boy, I wish I could do that." Then you envy them because they enjoy things that you want, but that you can't have, and you're like, "Boy, I wish I had that." And if you let that envy get down in your heart, then you know what's going to happen? In time, your actions are going to follow your heart. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that's why Solomon said, "Let not thine heart envy sinners." So don't envy sinners. And today we're going to talk about some things that Christians can envy in sinners that will cause them problems or cause you problems. First of all, don't envy their popularity. Don't envy their popularity. You know, sinners, they seem to have all of the popular friends. I mean, they're the cool people on campus. I mean, you look at athletes, the ones the media will follow, besides the ones that are really good, are the ones that are, you know, popular, but they're getting away with stuff. They're sinners. And it makes for, enticing media for people to follow and all that. These are the popular people. They're the in crowd. In your employer, you know, in your business, the people that are popular, man, these are the guys that if you can get in with them, then everybody else is going to look up to you as if you are somebody. I'm going to tell you something. Christians, by and large, are not popular with the world. I mean, Jesus Christ wasn't popular with the world. He had 500 witnesses to whom he appeared after his resurrection. And he had, you know, a number of followers, but a bunch of them were crying out, "Crucify him," at his crucifixion. Paul wasn't popular. When he was defending himself in Caesar's court, he said at my first answer, "No man stood with me." These guys weren't popular. And you know something? They weren't trying to win a popularity contest either. And the truth of the matter is, if Jesus wasn't popular and you follow what he says, and Paul wasn't popular and you follow what he says, you're not going to be popular either. And when you try to be popular because you envy sinners, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to fall out of favor with God. James 4:4 talks about that very thing. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You try to go out there and be popular, you're going to fall out of favor with God. Listen, you need to remember something, that the people you're trying to impress and all their friends, most of them are the enemies of God. And so if you make friendships with them, then you are at enmity with God. You're an enemy of God. And I'll tell you something, being on God's bad side is a whole lot worse than being on the outs with them. But I'll say the converse is true also. Being in favor with God is far and away better than being in with the in crowd. Okay? So don't envy their popularity. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't envy their popularity. I'll tell you something else. Don't envy their partying. Oh, sinners laugh it up now. You know, you're going to watch sports and things like that from time to time. You know what you see? You see beer ads on television. And when you do, you think, man, they're having a time. Tailgate parties and dancing, you know, and all the good-looking guys and the good-looking girls and everybody, you know, having a big time. Well, for the moment, at least in front of the cameras, they are having a good time. They're having a big time. But the truth of the matter is, they're going to mourn later. They always do. I mean, your friends and the ad campaigns, they don't show you the fights. They don't show you the broken relationships. They don't show you the horrible dysfunction, the liver disease, the mangled wrecks, and the misery. They don't show you that. 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about this party life. And you may have been one that was in the party life before you got saved. But if you were saved as a younger person and never got involved in the party life, you're probably thinking, man, I am missing out on something. You're not missing out on anything. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3 says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. See, some of us got saved later and happened to walk through some of that stuff. We tell you, it ain't worth going there. But if you grew up in a Christian home, grew up in church, and now you're looking at college life, or, you know, you're finally being successful in your career, and you think, boy, those guys are having the time. And the trouble is, if you decide you're not going to go with them, verse 4 says, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Matter of fact, they're not content just to think it's strange. They even, the verse goes on to say, speak evil of you, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Yeah, they ridicule you and so forth. But you know what? Listen, keep reading. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Now listen, they're going to stand before God. And when they stand before God, they're going to have to give account of all that stuff. And when you consider that you're going to have to stand before God and give account of all this party stuff, it has a tendency to sober you up a little bit and make you think twice before you want to jump off into the riot and into the cackling and into the party. You know what, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 4, 5, and 6, listen, Solomon tells you all about it. Solomon said, I tried all this drinking thing. I tried all this mirth. I also tried wisdom. And here's his conclusion. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 4, Solomon said, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. The heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Now, Solomon said, I tried them both. And he said, you know, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You're better off to hear a good rebuke from a wise friend than to listen to the honky-tonk in the jukebox or from the DJ or from the band. Why? Because the laughter of fools always turns to tears in the end. The party always comes to an end. Always. Always. And there's always sadness at the end of it. They just don't show you that on the commercials. So you think you're missing out on something. You're not missing anything at all. Don't envy sinners. Don't envy their popularity. Don't envy their partying. Don't envy their promiscuity. You say, what are you talking about? Well, promiscuous. That's kind of where we are in a lascivious society today. As I've mentioned to you before, sex sells. Now, God has designed sex for marriage as a very wonderful thing. But he wants you to wait till you're married, and this society doesn't want to do that. They love the sexual exploits in every kind of way, shape, form, and fashion. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20. Here's what Eger said about women who are promiscuous. He says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I've done no wickedness. I hadn't done anything wrong. Just out having a good time with the boys. Job chapter 24, verse 15. We hear a good description of the adulterer. And here's what he does. The eye also of the adulterer waiteth for the twilight. Let it get dark. Saying, no eye shall see me, and disguiseth his face. Funny how they do this promiscuity in the dark, not to be seen. Think they're getting away with it. Basically, what you've got is you've got a society of men and women fornicating for pleasure without conscience or without regard for God. And you know what they think? They think they're just out having fun. Yeah, it's just living it up. I mean, it's a natural thing. It's what we do. And they don't care how they do it. I mean, some people do, but a lot of people don't. You got all that stuff. Listen, I mean, the initials in the acrostic for all the various kinds of ways for people to have sex. That thing is getting big. There are a whole lot of letters in that thing these days. They're just out having a good time. And you know what happens? Young people envy the liberty of sinners to be promiscuous. They think, man, I want in on this. But you know something? You cannot be promiscuous without consequence. Just think of the millions of unexpected pregnancies. Think of the venereal disease and sexually transmitted diseases. That's what happens. And listen, those are just the consequential reaping of what you have sown. You got to remember something. In addition to reaping, God will judge their promiscuity. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Very, very clear. Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now, you're going to have to, you know, you look at all that and you say, well, they're heavy, well, I sure wish I... Don't be promiscuous. Because there are consequences down here and there are consequences in eternity. You say, well, what am I going to do? It's easy. Wait till you're married. You say, well, I don't want to wait that long. Wait till you're married. The marriage bed is undefiled. And it's honorable. You can wait. You can wait. Don't envy them. You don't even know all the sadness that's associated with what they do, because they're not going to tell you. But the Bible tells you, stay away from that. Don't envy sinners. Don't envy their popularity. Don't envy their partying. Don't envy their promiscuity. Don't envy their practices. Sinners do wrong. You know that. And the trouble is, they seem to get away with it. I mean, they lie, and they get away with it. They cheat, and they get away with it. They steal, and they get away with it. They cover up, and they get away with it. You name it, they do it. And it's easy for you as a Christian to look at what they're doing and think, well, man, if they can do it, why can't I? But the truth of the matter is, they're not getting away with it. And you'll find out if you follow their ways that you won't get away with it either. For one thing, there is so much peace in integrity. Now, I'm going to tell you what, when you do the right thing and you know you've done the right thing by the law, by the word of God, you go to bed at night and you do not worry about somebody calling your phone that you didn't want your spouse to know about. You don't worry about a tax agent coming to garnish your wages. You don't worry about the controller of currency or the attorney general or a lawyer. You don't worry about it. Or a policeman. You don't worry about all that stuff. You don't worry about getting a warrant. Why? Because God's pleased with what you're doing, and he blesses you when you walk in righteousness. And this blessing and this peace, well, that's something that sinners that you envy know nothing about. You know what? When you envy their liberty to sin, you never take into consideration the consequences that you're going to face when you're caught. And you will be caught. And when you envy their liberty to sin, you never take into consideration the judgment of God. And you will face the judgment of God. And you need to take it into consideration. Now listen, I don't know what you did before you got saved, but when I read in the Bible what God's done for us after we get saved, why would you want to go back to what you were or what you did or what they're doing? That should be gone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, Paul says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." In other words, he says, after you get saved, any of that stuff, that thieving, that covetousness, that extortion, all that stuff, forget it. "Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." That's what Paul said. So don't envy sinners. They're not getting away with it. Think they are. They're not. And you won't if you try it. I'll tell you something else. Not only are you not to envy the popularity of sinners and the partying of sinners and the promiscuity of sinners and the practices of sinners, but don't envy their prosperity. Don't envy their prosperity. I know when you look at sinners, for the most part, not totally. Yeah, they got more money than Christians. Yeah, you know, that's not always true. There's some Christians that got a lot of money. But they have more money than Christians. They seem to have more fun than Christians. And you start watching that, and their wealth and their enjoyment of their wealth entices you. You say, boy, I'd like to be able to afford their cars. Boy, I sure would like to be able to take their vacations. Man, I sure would like to fly in their planes. Boy, I sure would like to own their boats. Boy, I sure would like to live in their mansions, and so forth and so on. You know what? You need to look beyond the time of their prosperity. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32, The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now, in your Bible, in Psalm 73, there is a fabulous passage of Scripture on envying sinners and envying those who are prosperous. This particular psalm is written by Asaph. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. But in Psalm 73, beginning in verse 3, Asaph said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He says in verse 4, there are no bands in their death, their strength is firm, they're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And he just runs down this whole list of all these wonderful things that people who have prosperity down here have that he didn't have, and he was envious, and he was upset about it. And then he says in verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Kind of like, God, why do they get all the blessings, and it didn't happen to me? But then he said this. In 16, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. In verse 17, he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. And he said, whoa, wait a minute. When I looked beyond their current possession of wealth, when I looked beyond their current prosperity and looked to the end, I was like, oh, my goodness. And all kinds of wisdom came in. Solomon said, riches profit not in the day of wrath. Solomon said, riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away. Listen, a Christian that doesn't have much money is way more wealthier, way wealthier than a lost man who has all kinds of money. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, listen, you may be one of those Christians whom God has blessed, and you have Christianity, and you are very satisfied with your salvation, and God's blessed you with wealth as well. Praise the Lord, and you'll know how to use it for God's glory. But I'll tell you what, for the most part, Christians aren't rolling in the dough. Don't envy those who are. Why? Because you're wealthier than they are. You have durable riches, which you and I are going to enjoy forever. They don't. They're going to leave theirs here. They came in naked, they're going out naked. Don't worry about it. So don't envy sinners and their prosperity. Then finally this, don't envy their pride. Don't envy their pride. Sinners talk big. You ever notice that? They walk with an air of arrogance and self-assurance, man. It's like they got the world by the tail. They're men and women of the world. They're flashy. They're savvy. They know how to talk. You know, they know how to maneuver. They're in the know. They reign in their little kingdoms. And what happens to you is you start looking at that and you want so badly to be like them. At least you think you do. And it bothers you. I'm going to tell you something. You would be far better off to humble yourself before God in the fear of God and be content with who you are in Christ. Why? Because God will bring the proud low. And you don't want him to cut your legs out from under you when he knocks them off of their pedestals. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. You already know the verse, probably could quote it. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Now you walk around there and you say, boy, I want to be like them. You're going down, partner, because they all go down. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is a guarantee. It happens every single time. Don't sit there and read those things on the internet and in the magazines and see all the glitz and the glamour and the way they handle themselves. And think, boy, I wish that I had that. You don't wish you had it. It is a curse to them. You think you want it. Be glad you don't have it. So don't envy sinners. Don't envy their popularity. Don't envy their partying. Don't envy their promiscuity. Don't envy their practices. Don't envy their prosperity. Don't envy their pride. Listen, when you envy sinners, you know what you do? You cause your heart to despise the blessings you have as a Christian. That's what you do. You look over there and go, whoa, I sure wish I had that. You need to start thinking about what you do have. Not what you don't have. Because what happens is when you start looking at the restraint on your liberty as a Christian, you look at their liberty that you think they have, And you think, God, I wish I had the liberty to go do that. I can't because I'm a Christian. I wish I had the liberty to drink that. I can't because I'm a Christian. I wish I had the liberty to go there. I can't because I'm a Christian. You keep looking at that and you keep thinking, I am denied all these fun things. The truth of the matter is you are in possession of such great blessings and your eyes and mind have been on the wrong thing. And truly, when you look at their liberty to have those things, to do those things, to say those things, their liberty only appears to be liberty. It's not really liberty. In fact, it's bondage, and they are the servants of corruption. You see, 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about this, I mean, just plain as day where you couldn't possibly miss it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. He's talking about you. All this stuff, they're trying to draw you in. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Don't dare go back there and try to participate in what they're doing. You'll regret it. Listen, you have so much more than sinners have, and you don't even realize it. And you don't realize it simply because you don't have what they have. Well, the solution is you need to set your affection on things above rather than things on the earth. See, when your affections are set on what they have down here and you don't have it, you're upset. But when your affections are set on things above and you realize what you have that they don't have, then everything changes. So don't envy sinners. Rejoice instead in Jesus Christ. And you know what he'll do? He'll brighten your day. I pray this has been a blessing to you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.